The title of the message that we've been talking about is When God Speaks to Us. And so I want to tell you, it's very, very important that we're able to discern the voice of the Lord. And we've taken several weeks talking about this for several weeks. And we're talking about when God speaks to us. Next series will be about how God speaks to us. But when God speaks to us, Jesus gave us the command to hear the voice of God. He gave us that command because we absolutely need to be able to hear and discern the voice of God. And especially in this time, there are thousands and thousands of voices out there always trying to speak to us. You've got friends, you know, you've got your peers, you've got coworkers, you've got employers, you've got, you know, fellow Christians even, you got all your Facebook family people, you got everybody, you got family members. There are people always speaking things to us, but we have to be able to discern what is God's voice and what's not. If not, we're going to make some really terrible mistakes and we're going to really put ourselves through some misery. And so Jesus said, hear God's voice. It wasn't an option. It was actually a command. Hear God's voice. And so we know that the scripture tells us that God's thoughts are not the same as ours. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. And he lets us know that he thinks on a whole different level than we do on a natural level. So our desire should be, Lord, bring me up to that level, your level of thinking. That's what repentance is. Bring me up to that level where my mind is changed to where I'm no longer thinking limited like a natural person. But Lord, I'm hearing your thoughts and I'm following what you say. And so I think for us, you know, many people, they make it all about saying a sinner's prayer and, you know, I get to go to heaven instead of hell and that kind of thing. And that's as far as they ever get. But God wants us to live our life in a way where we're in constant obedience to him, following the leading of the Holy Spirit, recognizing his voice and obeying that. And so we've gone through several things about testing that, because when we hear some kind of voice speaking to us, no matter where it's coming from, we have to test that voice, whether it's someone who claims to be a prophet, whether it's as you're reading the Bible itself, something you think it's saying, whether it's something you hear in prayer, whether it's just people talking to you, you need to be able to test what you hear and know whether or not this is coming from God. And so we said, and we're going to run through this very quickly, we said, number one, when God speaks to us, it will always honor Christ, always. If there's ever a voice that's not honoring Christ, then it's not the voice of God. Okay? And if any way, shape, or form, it seeks to dishonor Christ. Like, let me give you an example. We had a couple here at one time. They used to go to a church where the pastor, he was a good pastor. He preached the word of God. But something began to happen in his life where he actually began to reject Christianity. And he just became Jewish in his religious views, that Christ was not the Messiah. But then, because he knew these people, he wanted to start going to their home and begin to have Bible studies with them. And so they asked what we thought about that. And I said, well, you know, the scripture says if they deny who Christ is, you don't even let them in your house. So you certainly don't want to sit down with them and have a Bible study, especially someone who considers themselves some kind of spiritual authority, and begin to speak in a way that dishonors Christ. No, the best thing you can do is shut the door. Amen? And you say, well, I don't want to be rude. Well, the devil will use that compassion against you. So if it's dishonoring Christ, you don't want that influencing your life. So that was number one. Number two, we said when God speaks to us, it will always be consistent with his word. And, you know, it's very important that we understand how the word of God speaks to us. And we should be reading the word of God in its context and reading it for what God intended for it to say, so on and so forth. But we said there's a problem with this particular point because so many people don't know the word of God. They only know little bits and pieces of the word of God. And sometimes the only kind of the word of God that they get is what they hear in church or they hear some preacher saying somewhere, but they're not getting into the word themselves. And so when he speaks, it will always be consistent with the word of God. If you believe God told you to do something and it's not consistent with the word of God, then it wasn't God. If someone tries to say, I believe God told me to tell you this, but it's not consistent with the word of God, you have to reject that word. It's not God. Number three, we said when God speaks to us, it will many times conflict with human wisdom and the human will. I would go far enough to say it's not just many times, but almost to the point of saying every time. If you look at all the commands of Christ, everything that Jesus taught, they absolutely go against human wisdom and the human will. Let me give you the one small example that's easy. Love your enemies. Do good to them who persecute you, right? That is absolutely diametrically opposed to what is natural. Why? Because we're survivalists. We want to survive. Well, it doesn't make sense to go loving on my enemies, the very one that wants to hurt me, right? And so it's going to conflict with human wisdom and the human will. And there are times when God will tell you to do something that makes no sense. Now, I'm not saying something like go bomb an abortion clinic or something. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about he'll tell you to do something that really makes no sense. Maybe you're trying to get from here to there, and this is the path you normally take because it's the best road to take, and God speaks to you and says, I want you to go this way today. You never know what he's got in store, right? So there are times when he's going to tell you to give something away when you think you desperately need it. Well, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense, right? And a million examples we could use when God speaks to us. But when he speaks to us and we obey him, beautiful things happen. But many times it's going to go against human wisdom and the human will. You know, we're pastoring this church because God told us to. We're here today because God told us to. I had lots of friends, especially early on, who would say things like, you know, one in particular said, why would you be in that little podunk town and that little podunk church? Because it was little bitty. That was the word. He said, man, you could be pastor in some big church in a big city making good money. And my answer to him was, that's not what we're about. We're here because God said to be here. We're doing it because God said to be here. It's not about any of that other stuff. None of that stuff matters to me. And so it made no human sense, and my own flesh reacted against that because I didn't want to do it, right, as I've said many times. But thank God, I'm so thankful that we obeyed him. And so, again, when he speaks, it's going to conflict with the human will and with human reasoning. Then number four, when God speaks to us, it will challenge your faith. Man, God's always looking to challenge our faith, to get us to exercise our faith, to get us to walk in the faith and to use the faith that he's given us. I've often said, it does you no good to pray and ask God to give you more faith. He's not giving you any more faith. What he'll do is give you an opportunity to use the faith you have so that you can exercise that faith and cause it to grow. So I don't ask God to give me more faith. For any situation, I exercise the faith that he gave me, and all of us have been given the measure of faith. I'm responsible for what I do with that measure of faith, okay? So when he speaks to us, it's going to challenge your faith. God's going to tell you to do something that seems absolutely impossible. Not only does it conflict with the human will, but he'll tell you to do something that you can't do. I hear people say all the time, they say, God will never give you more than you can handle. That is wrong. That is not scriptural. What the Bible says is that God will never let a temptation come to you that you don't have the power to overcome. But he never says he'll never give you more than you can handle. He wants us to live at that place of more than we can handle. That way he can be glorified. The only way it's going to happen is his power making it happen. He always gives us more than we can handle. That glorifies him. So, again, it'll always challenge your faith. Then we said, number five, when God speaks to us, it will find confirmation with spiritually mature people in our lives. And it's very important that we understand this, too, that God has put spiritually mature people in our lives. And it's not that I'm asking them what to do. It's that I believe God showed me this. What do you see? Is it, do you see a red flag in this? Do you see? Look, I'm a pastor, but I have a pastor. And so when we make major decisions many times, if I'm not just absolutely certain and God has not confirmed that, then I have a pastor I can go to. Now, we'll tell you this. We're not asking you to depend on us to make your decisions for you. Okay, we're not asking for that. We got to make enough decisions of our own. We don't want to make everybody else's. But I do know that there's something about getting confirmation and at least saying, is there anything, are there any red flags that you see, right? And that's a healthy thing to do. Because what'll happen is if I just think I hear something and I run with it and I couldn't care what anybody else says, especially those that God has put in my life to speak into my life, then I'm being a fool. So, and if those spiritually mature people say something and I just ignore it and throw it off without even taking it back to God and saying, God, this is what they said. What do you say? Can you further confirm this? If I'm not doing that, then I'm going to make foolish decisions. And so very important. And then we said that when God speaks, some people receive it. I wish everybody did. But some people receive it. And when they receive it, what happens is, number one, it will produce good fruit. When God speaks and I receive it and I put it into action, it will produce good fruit. And that's what God wants in our life. He wants good fruit. I've often said that, you know, when we take communion many times, about that when Jesus said, the next time I drink the fruit of the vine, it'll be with you in my kingdom. Often said, I believe that what he's really saying there is the fruit of our lives. He's not talking about sitting down and drinking some grape juice with the disciples. He's talking about, I want to drink of the fruit of your life. Because he was saying that to them just before going to the cross and being resurrected. That the next time we do this, the next time I drink of the fruit of the vine, it'll be in the kingdom, right? I just believe that's a beautiful picture. I want to give him lots and lots of fruit to drink from. Amen? And so it'll produce good fruit. But then secondly, we said, if God speaks and when God speaks and we receive that, it will also bring peace to our spirits. Very important. That word peace is the word eirene in the Greek. It means prosperity. It means quietness. It means set at one again. It's just such a beautiful picture, set at one again. It's like, you know, when my life is falling to pieces, what I really need is not advice from all my Facebook friends. What I really need is a word from God. Because that word from God will take all those pieces and somehow put them together the way they're supposed to be. Set at one again. And when I have peace about something, I can move forward. If I don't have peace, I can't move forward. Right? And by the way, that peace many times, and talking about confirmation, peace is one of the ways that we have confirmation about if God is saying something to us or telling us to do something. If there's just this dread in my heart, there's just something's not right and that peace is not there, that's a sign. Don't go forward. And another thing too, of confirmation, if you're married, especially when you're making major decisions, you want to seek agreement. It's a foolish thing to push your way through something when you don't have agreement with, especially a Christian spouse, okay? And yet people do that kind of stuff all the time. It's the opposite of confusion, this piece that we're talking about. It just puts things in the right place, puts them together. And when I follow the leading of the Lord through his word, there's going to be peace. And so not only is there going to be peace, but also the last one we hit on was that it shall accomplish and succeed in that which God purposes. When I hear from God, when God speaks to me and I take a hold of that word and I apply it to my life and I use that word for what he sent it for, it's going to accomplish what it needed to accomplish. For instance, one that is just very simple for me to bring up, by his stripes, we were healed. Well, if I can catch that word from heaven and I can catch it with my spirit, and I can renew my mind with it, understanding not will I be healed, but I've already been healed. And I can begin to rehearse that and say that out of my mouth, not begging God to do something he's already done, but I send his word back to him. Then there's a power connection. And that's why I love Isaiah 55, 10 and 11, where it talks about the rain cycle. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. It's a beautiful picture. As the word came down, it also, God intended for it to go back up. It doesn't just return back by itself. We return it to him. We speak it back to him. And it's not like twisting God's arm or saying, well, God, you said, so you better do it. No, God loves, he delights to hear that his people know what he has said and declared. We come into agreement with it and we begin to speak it back. And when that word reaches the throne of heaven again, there's a power connection like electricity, and there's an opportunity for a miracle. That's the way it works. I've seen it over and over and over. And so he expects his word to be received, put into practice, and returned back to him when he sends it. And then we have the third and really final main point, and that is when God speaks to us, some will not receive it. So some will receive it, but some will not receive it. And I feel sorry for people who just will not receive the word of the Lord. But Jesus knew that many would not receive it. That's why it says in Revelation 2:29, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Why? Because some people don't have an ear. And some people don't want to have an ear. Some people don't want to hear what God has to say. It's very possible that people can come sit in a church. I think it happens all the time. People come and they'll sit in a church where the word of God is preached and they leave out as though nothing was ever said. They did their religious duty. They showed up. They feel good about it because they did their religious duty. But the word has no opportunity to change that person. That's why, you know, when people talk about, for instance, back in the days, you know, many of us were Roman Catholic at some point. But back in the day, they would go to church and the whole thing would be done in Latin. Well, nobody in the room knew Latin but the guy who was speaking the Latin, right? So there was no understanding that the word of God changes your life, because it wasn't about that. It was about going through the religious rituals. But what changes your life is not going through religious rituals. What changes your life is the word of God received, right? And so Jesus says to him who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He wants us to hear what the Spirit is saying. That's why we have to learn to tune our ear toward the Lord. And it's not really talking about our physical ears as much as he's talking about the ears of our spirit. I like what Jesus said, that I only say what I hear my Father say. He wasn't talking about some audible voice speaking to this ear. He said, I only do what I see my Father do. And he's talking about the eyes and the ears of the Spirit. And then Jesus said, you'll do the same things that I did. Well, that doesn't just mean miracles and signs and wonders. That means that anything that Jesus was enabled to do on this earth, we're enabled to do. That means we can see what God's doing. We can hear what God's saying. So that phrase is actually said seven times as Jesus is talking to the church in the book of Revelation. God wants to speak to us, but again, the question is, do we really want to hear what God has to say? I've come to the conclusion that many of us don't want to hear what God has to say. We don't really. I mean, we kind of want a relationship with him, but we don't always want to hear what he has to say. Like, we like it whenever he tells us the good stuff, but we don't necessarily like it when he corrects. We don't necessarily like it when he tells us to do something that we're not comfortable doing. Am I the only one in the room? We say we want to hear from you, Lord. We seek your face. Well, not really, because our sins are exposed in the light of his face. We don't necessarily want that. We should. We should all want it. We should all be saying, God, search my heart. Lord, if there be anything that's displeasing to you, God, reveal it to me, because I want to repent now. I would much rather be exposed myself than to be exposed in public some kind of way. And I believe that as time goes on, we're going to continue to see high profile people, especially spiritual leaders, high profile places. We're going to continue to see those things exposed. If they're not living the way they're claiming to live, if they're not truly serving the Lord, then he will expose them. I believe we're going to see that more and more. And so don't be shocked. Don't let it hurt your faith when you hear of somebody else that's been exposed for some sin in their life. Have a relationship with God that takes you beyond that. So again, God wants to speak to us, but do we really want to hear it? Understand, this is not the president we're talking about. This is not the Pope we're talking about, some international celebrity. This is God we're talking about. And believe it or not, he really does want to speak to us if we're willing to listen. I believe that the Lord is getting his bride ready. I believe that he wants to speak to his church. I'm afraid that a lot of what we call the visible church just really isn't ready for his coming. Yeah, people that still just want to do their own thing. They're religious, but they're doing their own thing. Many live compromised lives as though it doesn't matter to God. You know, do things, say things, act certain ways, do things as though somehow God doesn't see. And so they're compromised, and God wants to speak to us. He wants to get us clean. He wants to get us ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb. Do we really want to hear from God? Again, we say yes, but it depends on what he says. Jeremiah has always been an inspiration to me, especially after I started pastoring. Jeremiah himself was everything that a hungry congregation could ask for in a shepherd. I mean, think about this. Jeremiah was this godly man. He was in constant communion with the Lord. He couldn't be bought at any price. He wept over the sins of the people. He interceded for the people. He was literally ready to lay down his life for the church. He was actually thrown into jail. He was thrown into a deadly mud pit at one time for just simply speaking truth. He was a spokesman for God who refused to compromise. And time after time, the scripture says, Jeremiah waited in the Lord's presence until the word of the Lord came to him. That phrase appears over 50 times in the book of Jeremiah. I'd say, man, he'd have been a pretty good pastor. Yet, we're told that not a single person would listen to him. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet because he was always crying. And I can't help but think, well, Lord, I'd be crying all the time too if nobody wanted to listen. In fact, there were times when Jeremiah cried out to the Lord and he says, why are you making me say these things? These people don't even want to listen. But it's a fire burning in my bones. I'm weary of holding it back. I can't hold it back. I have to say it even though I know they're not going to listen. And God said, well, Jeremiah, I told you at the beginning of your ministry, they're not going to listen. But yet he was still willing to follow the Lord to do what the Lord said. And I often say, you know, preachers, many preachers today think success is having a big, huge building filled with thousands of people and millions of dollars coming in every year. But success is following the Lord, doing what he says, saying what he says to say. That's success. I look at Jeremiah and I think, my goodness, nobody in the United States would think Jeremiah was a successful preacher. But yet, God considered him a success. He's got an entire book. His writings are considered scripture and his book named after him. I'd say that's success. Many people's lives have been inspired by his writings and the things that he was faithful to speak from God to. Even though the people of his day didn't listen, we get the benefit of it. And so in those days, understand, there was no shortage of the true word of God. Jeremiah was speaking it. Throughout history, the Lord has always had true spokesmen, even in times of compromise and apostasy. Time after time, you read, and the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, came to Jeremiah, came to Ezekiel. It came to Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Jonah, Micah, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. If you recognize, those are all names of books of the Bible, prophetic books of the Bible. The word of the Lord came to them over and over again, yet the people refused to listen. I believe we live in a day today that God is raising up some men and women who are going to speak the word without compromise. Now, there are many who are completely compromised, but I do believe that God is raising up men and women who will be bold enough and willing to speak the word of God without compromise, who don't have a problem saying that if God's word calls it sin, it's sin. And we need to quit calling it a mistake or a bad decision. No, it's sin. You know it's sin. It's wrong. It's dark. You love it because the Bible says that men stay in the darkness because they love the darkness. And we got to stop telling people that they're okay. We're all okay. Everybody's wonderful. Everything's wonderful. You're just, you know, you're blessed, you're blessed, you're blessed. And we leave it at that. No, we better start telling people that you need to repent. If there's any one message that needs to be spoken today in our day and age, it's the message of repentance. That's why we talk about it all the time. What is repentance? Doesn't mean saying I'm sorry. Repentance means I'm changing the way I'm thinking because I want to be on the same level of thinking as you, God. I want to be able to hear what you're saying and apply what you're saying. That's what true repentance is. And so God wants to send his word to people today. God's word was always, always a clear warning. It was full of judgment against sin, yet it was full of hope for the repentant. And many times there are three wrong kinds of responses to the word of God, to the word of truth. And we're not going to really have time to get into all of those today. But I will tell you that there are people that just absolutely refuse to hear the word of the Lord. I want to encourage you today, when you come to church or whether you're listening on the radio or television, you listen to the gospel being preached, whatever ministry it is, always ask the Lord to help you to tune your ear into what he's saying. I don't want somebody's opinion. I want to know what God is saying. Amen. I'll be honest with you. There are very few that I can even stand to listen to on television or radio anymore. There's so much compromise. There's so much twisting of God's word. Now, I'm not going to pretend. I'm not going to say, well, I think we're the only ones preaching truth around here. I'm not going to say that. I believe there are a lot of men and women that God has raised up. But I will tell you this. There are people who do not want to hear what God has to say. And if you will open your heart to what God has to say, God will bring about change that allows you to literally operate in an arena outside of that which is natural, carnal, and limited, where we no longer have to live as mere men, but we can walk in a supernatural grace that gets people's attention. Amen. We can live our lives in a way where it's not about me just saying, God, would you please do this for this person? But it's about me and you walking in the authority that he gave us based on the word that he spoke. And we go walk that out and see the supernatural and miraculous happen. Now, let me give you, we're only going to have time to get into one of these. So we're talking about those that, you know, they hear the word of God, but yet they reject it. Number one subpoint on that is that many will just simply not pay attention to it. They're going to act as though God didn't even speak. Now, let's look at Jeremiah 37, 1 and 2. It says, Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, made king in the land of Judah, reigned instead of Coniah and the son of Jehoiakim. But neither he nor his servants, now listen to what it says in verse 2, neither he, the king, nor his servants, nor the people of the land listened to the words of the Lord. Whose word? The words of the Lord that he spoke through, that God spoke through Jeremiah the prophet. So basically what he's saying in Jeremiah 37 here is that from the highest to the lowest, nobody wanted to hear what God has to say. There's a lot of people who don't want to hear what he has to say. Our nation is full of people who do not want to hear what God has to say. We have authority all the way to the top office who do not want to hear what God has to say. I do thank God that he's raising certain people up who are going to say what God has to say. And whether you know it or not, Mike Johnson, who is now the latest House Speaker, the Speaker of the House, is a man of God from Louisiana. I personally, and some other pastors, and my pastor personally, I have a picture of it, of us laying hands on that man, anointing him for service. And I want to tell you, he's a godly man. I believe God is raising some godly people up, trying to get people who will once again hear from God and say what God says to say. And he's that kind of person. But I want to tell you, the God haters are going to do everything they can to crucify that man. It's already, the process has already begun. They're trying to dig up anything they can to crucify him. And so the Israelites had no intention of quitting their sinful ways. Just like people do on a regular basis, they show up at church, but they have no intention of quitting what they're doing. I'm going to go do my duty, my religious duty, so I can feel good about myself, but I don't really want to change anything. And there are people all over that's their attitude. And what they want is a soft, soothing word. Just make me feel better. I just want to feel better about myself. I just need better self-esteem. I tell people, you know, God wants to absolutely destroy your self-esteem. He doesn't want you to be reliant on self. He doesn't want you to be self-dependent. He wants you to be completely God-dependent. Now, let me tell you, there is no better esteem than not self-esteem. Self-esteem is based on me. But there is no better esteem than to have the esteem of, I represent God, the God of heaven, the creator of the universe, and I'm speaking things that he has put in my mouth to say. Man, I want to tell you, that'll cause you to stand up straight. So if we really wanted to hear what God is saying to us today, then I'm going to get a little messy here, but we would at least make an attempt to be at every service possible that we can. Now hear me, that's the least. If we really want to hear from God, that's the least we can do. Now, I know that you can't be everywhere at one time. You only have, you know, one body, and it can't be everywhere at once. And I know that there are some times when people just can't, and that's understandable. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the times when we just say, well, you know what? That's just really not that important to me. I got something else I want to do. I just feel like doing something else today. Or it's just not really that important. I want to tell you, can I tell you this? I'm not here because I have to be. I'm here because I want to be. Right? And we all have to be at that place. I'm here because I want to be. I want to hear from God. I want to experience His presence. I want to know Him more. Amen? And so, again, people want a soft, soothing word. May the Lord help us to never get to the point where we don't want to hear what He has to say. The prophet Isaiah said of the people this. He said, "For they are a rebellious people, lying children, children unwilling to hear the instruction of the Lord, who say to the seers," that's really the prophet-type people who see in the spirit realm, "do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy illusions. Tell me what I want to hear." Remember, there's an old song that says, "Lie to me, lie to me, because the lie is more pleasant than the truth," right? "Do not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy illusions. Leave the way. Turn aside from the path. Let us hear no more about this Holy One of Israel." Why? Because He don't let me do what I want to do when I want to do it. He has a different opinion than me. And I don't want to do it His way. I want to do it my way. Don't fool yourself into thinking that there are not millions and millions of people with the same attitude today. So in another instance, talking about the prophet Micaiah, I always thought this story was interesting and, you know, true account. In 1 Kings chapter 22, 18, it says, "And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, 'Did I not tell you that he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil?'" Now, let me give you a little background. A little earlier, this is what it says in 1 Kings 22, 13 through 14. "And the messenger whom went to summon Micaiah said to him." So this is a messenger going to Micaiah, who is a prophet. "And he said to him, 'Behold, the words of the prophet with one accord are favorable to the king.'" So this is what he's saying. He's saying all the other prophets are saying things favorable to the king. They're saying good things, smooth words. They're keeping themselves out of trouble. They're telling the king what they know the king wants to hear. That's what this guy's saying. "And he said, 'Let your word be like the word of one of them and speak favorably.' But Micaiah said, 'As the Lord lives, what the Lord says to me, I will speak.'" All of the peer pressure from all the other so-called prophets, they were looking out for their own skin. And they weren't going to say anything that they thought the king might not like. So they just spoke favorably. And Micaiah stands up and says, "I can only say what God tells me to say." I want to tell you, may that be the only kind of preaching you ever hear from this pulpit. May that be the only kind of preaching people ever hear from any one of our mouths. Are there churchgoers today who would actually demand of the pastor a deceiving message? The answer is yes. Yes, there are. They're all over this country. You may not hear them say those words, but you can see their response when the man of God or woman of God with some kind of a strong prophetic word. And when I say a prophetic word, I'm not talking about, you know, telling them that God wants them to go do this or go do that, but a word that comes from heaven that is speaking the heart of God for the moment. That's what I'm talking about. When that comes forth, people leave church thinking, you know, I don't like that kind of preaching. I would much rather, you know, some kind of how-to steps. You know, tell me how to do this. Tell me how to do that. You know, those kind of things. Just give me some good how-to steps. Don't tell me about repentance. Don't tell me about, you know, I've got to change my heart and all that kind of stuff. And certainly don't point out to me that what I may be doing or saying or thinking may be wrong. They might be saying I prefer some, you know, just something that's easy on the toes. But the people in Jeremiah's day so despised any word exposing sin that they demanded that any such message be stopped. So God is speaking to him. The scripture says Jeremiah was delivering what God said to deliver, saying what God said to say, and yet they despised it and they rejected it. And they demanded that he stop, so much to the point they were willing to persecute him. And so the reason many don't want to hear from God is because it may expose the sin that's in their life, and people don't want that. I remember when I was younger, I'd get around somebody that was, you know, they had a really strong prophetic anointing upon them. And it was a little scary, to be honest with you, because I'm like, God's going to show them something and they're going to embarrass me in front of everybody. Right? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Ever been around that kind of thing? Get around them preachers that can just read your mail. I mean, it's like they know my life. They know everything about me. Right? And so that's because God knows everything about us. And so these kind of people, they like to read the promises, but they don't like to read the condition of the promises. We'll say that again. They like the promises. They like to read the promises, but they don't want to know about the conditions of the promise. And these are the kind of people that when the promise doesn't come about, they begin to point an accusing finger at whoever delivered the word and say, see, it wasn't God in the first place. But they're not meeting the condition. God usually, when he gives a prophetic word, there's, if you will do this, I will do this, right? And so many people don't hear from God because they've already made up their mind. They've already decided that they're not going to do what he says to do anyway. So many people will not hear from God because he already knows. They've already made up their mind. They're not going to do what he says. God, I'll do this, but I won't do this. God, I'll serve you in this way, but don't ask me to serve you in this way. God, I'll say this, but I'm not going to say this, right? We put those conditions on God. And so what will happen is we just will stop hearing him. And so Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 23, we're coming in for a landing. But this people has a defiant and rebellious heart. A defiant and rebellious heart. They are defiant and self-willed and always have to learn things the hard way. God help us to not be people who always have to learn the hard way. I've met people in my life who are proud of that. Well, you know me, I always got to learn the hard way. Well, stupid, you can change that. Proverbs 12:1 exposes you. So if you refuse discipline, you're stupid, right? They're proud of it. And so they bring upon themselves a lot of unavoidable pain in life. Now, it's unavoidable because they refuse to hear from God. But if they'd heard from God, it would absolutely be avoidable. God knows. I want to tell you, everybody in this room, you know, before you make a bad decision or say something you shouldn't say, that Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit's living inside of you, he's trying to warn you. He's trying. That buzzer's going off. That red light's going off. Before you go to this place or that place or participate in this or say this or whatever, the Holy Spirit's trying to warn you. He's trying to stop you. But here's the thing about the Holy Spirit. He is a gentleman, and he's not going to force his way. And something I've learned about the Holy Spirit, if I ignore him the first time he speaks, the voice is going to get a little quieter and then a little quieter and then a little quieter till I finally get to the place I can't hear him at all. That's a dangerous place to be. Okay, so we don't want to be that kind of person. How many of you would agree? I don't want to be that kind of person. Now, I believe with all of my heart that what God has done and is doing with this church, the whole reason we exist is that God wanted to raise disciples up who would not compromise, who would believe God, who would take him at his word, who would operate and function in his power and his authority. I believe that everywhere you go, that the stream of anointing that God has placed on this ministry, I'm not bragging, I'm not boasting, this is not about me. It's what God said he wanted to do. And I believe that for every person that is involved in this ministry, God has called us to live a life that's beyond the natural. And we can compromise and we can make choices in the natural that can really throw God's plan off for our life because we want acceptance by peers or friends or fellow employees or family or whatever. But we have to come to that place. God is speaking to his people. And we have to come to that place saying, God, old saying, come hell or high water, I'm going to do what you tell me to do. I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to be willing to let you change what needs to be changed. I'm going to stop trying to push my way, push my agenda, push my thoughts, push my opinions. I'm going to stop telling you how I'm going to live, and I'm going to start asking you how you want me to live. And I'm going to set my ear, I'm going to tune my ear in to you. Now, how many of you are in agreement with that? If you're in agreement with that, why don't you just lift your hands to the Lord, and I'm just going to pray over you today. Father, I thank you. You see the hands, Lord. You see the hearts. Father, we know that you have all wisdom. We know that you have all knowledge. Father, if there's anyone we should want to hear from, it's you. So Lord, first off, I'll start with me, Lord. Forgive me for the times when somehow I've pushed out your voice for the voice of another. God, forgive me for the times when I've pushed aside conviction for something that was more pleasant. Lord, I pray for every one of us in this room, Lord, that we would truly be able to take a hold of what your word says in its wholeness, in its fullness. Lord, that we would not allow our own opinions to sway us the wrong direction. Lord, if there are people in this building right now who are living in compromise in any way, I pray conviction of the Holy Spirit come upon them in such a powerful way, Lord God, that they would come to a place of repentance before you, even if it cost them friends and family. Father, I pray, God, that your voice would become so predominant in our lives, Lord, that you would help us to hear what you're saying so clearly in our spirit, Lord, that we would know which steps to take proceeding from this place, God, so that we might serve in your kingdom in a way that's honorable and brings glory to you. Lord, if there's any love for the darkness left in any one of our hearts, God, I pray reveal it, expose it, and remove it as we come to you in repentance. Father, we know time is short. We know, God, time is clicking away very, very fast, Lord God. And we know, God, that things are going to wrap up at some time, and you're trying to make your bride ready. May you find a clean, pure bride when you return. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of knowing you, the privilege of serving you, and the privilege of being chosen as part of your family. Lord, I thank you for supernatural strength, God, for your people as we go forward. May we hear your voice clearly, and may we heed that voice. May we not be like those in Jeremiah's day who refused to listen because we had our own agenda. Help us to hear you clearly, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're in agreement, won't you shout amen?